Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk. This is episode 59 of your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and I am joined by my two incredible co-hosts tonight, Doofsnax and Lazadin. What is up, you two? Doofsnax, how has your week been?
Week's busy, but I'm excited for what we've got ahead. AOS Cup qualifiers right around the corner. Then, of course, the AOS Cup, and then live EUIC for the AOS Cup EU champion to sort out. A lot of good stuff for Unite on the way, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's true. Championship Series is kicking off in, like, major breakneck pace. It's a ton of good events. It's going to be a lot of fun. Lazadin, how has your last week been?
Oh, it's been all right. You know, a lot of very interesting things going on.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, news towards your team as well that we'll have to get into a little bit later. But, I mean, it is the crunch time for a lot of teams in the competitive scene here in the West. I mean, UCS, we're headed into the AOS Cup, like you mentioned, Doofsnax. The most important tournament within the season itself, except for maybe the regional finals. I think we can all agree. This one's for money. This one's for a ton of championship points. I mean, a lot of people are going to be turning their heads towards it. Lazadin, I know you've been working with, of course, Luminosity Gaming, but I'm sure you've been working with other teams as well. Is the sentiments across most of the competitive teams that, like, okay, February and March were fine, we were feeling it out, but now it's seriously, this is the tournament that we need to focus up for? Or was maybe February the opening tournament setting off that pace? Which one do you feel kind of held more importance across the community?
I genuinely feel like it's more of like the, yeah, like this is the tournament. And I think you can see that with like how people treated their rosters too. Like there's a ton of roster shifts. Whereas like, this is like no more farting around. Like we need to have the best thing we can have at this exact time. And that's how we are like optimally playing out the year.
Yeah.
I will just let you know though, that like, I do not speak with as much of the competitive community as I used to after, after the way March went. I kind of have isolated myself to my little bubble mostly, and have been focusing on helping my own team, but yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, good. You got to focus on what's right in front of you. That makes a lot of sense. Doofsnax, how does it feel for you? I mean, you commentated both February and March, but is the air a little different? Is the energy different headed into AOS? Or does this feel like, okay, this is just another ladder rung on UCS, and what's really important is whatever gets me into Worlds?
Yeah, I think the teams that are suddenly deciding that this is the event to care about are going to find themselves on the outside looking in.
Yeah,
that's something that I always really appreciated about TTV Season 1 is, you know, regardless of result, they were always hungry to win that event, whatever it was. And there was no, what is it for, what's on the line? It's just, we want to be the best and we want to win this thing.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, I think teams that are taking that attitude going into the AOS Cup specifically might find themselves on the outside looking in, especially when you have like Amaterasu that's been playing very, very well from NA. Of course, you know, what a bounce back event for Luminosity this is going to be. I think they're going to be the trains on the track and you just need to clear the way. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that find themselves on the backside of a beatdown because of that squad coming back through. So that's my two cents. If you were thinking this is the time to step up, I think you've already missed the steps that you needed to take.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Lazadin, actually, do you know what seed you are headed into this tournament? Are you fourth seed now?
Or less
because of a new addition?
I think because of how screwed up March finals ended up being, we're like third or fourth seed. I'm not sure, though.
Even with the new add to your squad?
Yes. Oh. We're definitely top 8. I think we're top 4. I'd have to double check to be 100% sure.
Okay. Well, yeah. And that's actually something I wanted to talk about, just a discussion point here at the top of show and championship points and how they're working this season. We all talked about how these changes that we think were made for the competitive format for season 2 are overall good. Number 1 championship points in the region gets their auto invite. Everything else after that is decided via regional finals. Makes the points definitely worth a little bit more. But it does make kind of roster changes and things like that dangerous for the top teams to do because you're giving up on a lot of points if players are going to be leaving your team and heading somewhere else, depending on how good your results were. But if you are one of those sort of middle of the pack teams, or even trailing a little bit behind that, let's say finishing around 16th to 12th, somewhere in that, in qualifier runs, not making the finals, or even if you made the finals 1 month and after that it's a little shaky, it kind of not exactly incentivizes, but sometimes it's a better decision to blow up the roster, take a look at what players you are around, see who's got the highest championship points, and grab a few folks and try to run it, because then you'll have a better chance in terms of seeding for these tournaments, which in the end is not going to be productive for many players. Some players that will work for long-term player health, mental-wise, but also performance-wise, that is never going to be a great plan for success. However, some players thrive in the mercenary-like environment, and in a lot of T2 esports, like, overall, this is something that we see. But yeah, I don't know. Deucex, do you feel like the same sentiments as I am, that it's almost pushing towards this top teams stay positioned, stay huddled in their top spot for as long as they can, and kind of the middle of the pack and bottom of the pack is just sort of, I want to say cannibalizing each other, but that might not be exactly right. But Deucex, what are your sentiments towards this?
It'll certainly happen that these teams cannibalize each other. We're starting to see some shakeups in short order, of course. Mm-hmm. But there is one thing worth noting, and I don't know when it happens, but there is a roster lock this season. Ooh, so at some point, the shuffling can't happen anymore. So again, harken back to the point I made all of last season. There is value in sticking together as a team and surviving through adversity, because at some point, the shuffling is going to stop, and you need to leg it out in the last couple of events, or however many events it is, with a team that you are familiar with and comfortable with and have can fight with your back against the wall with. So it's going to happen without a doubt. We're already seeing it starting to shake the trees a little bit. But because there's roster lock, I think it's going to, again, sort a lot of players out who try and make the last ditch effort, switch up to get on a collective team with most CP with a couple events left, and they still might find themselves on the outside looking in because there is no chemistry on that team. There's no ability to face adversity on that team, and they're just going to crumble despite making what is on paper the strongest move to qualify.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Lazanin, any extra thoughts you want to throw into the CP discussion I sort of just threw at the start of the show here?
Yeah. Are we 100% sure it's 1-3 on the quals? I never got a clear answer on that, although I kept forgetting to ask, and the rules are not super clear either.
I am 90% sure it's 1-3 on the quals, I only because on like the original post they put that's still up there on like PokemonUnite.com or whatever, when it has the competitive structure, it says top team from every region from CP qualifies, and then there's nothing else really said, so that just sort of made me assume that it's 1 and 3 from regionals, but I'm not too sure.
Fair enough.
That is my estimation. Well, all right, let's jump off CP. I think we'll be discussing this more as we get closer to the end of the season. Things will be changing. We'll have a better benchmark for where teams are at in terms of the championship points race, which is going to be a really fun discussion to go region by region. It's going to be fun. There's even shakeups in regions where we didn't expect any. I mean, Baby Mazo's team lost, I believe, so that's kind of a cool shakeup. Some regions have seen it. Qlash still dominating within theirs. But let's talk about Asia Champions League 2023. It finally finished. We talked about this on the show, it seems like forever ago, when we were still in the group stages, but ACL had its grand conclusion this last weekend, an in-person event, which I believe was in Taiwan. Do not quote me on that if I'm wrong. Quote me on it all the time if I'm right.
it was in Kuala Lumpur.
Okay, Kuala Lumpur, my bad. A fantastic event overall. I thought the in-person event vibes were very, very good. The stage looked awesome. The production was epic. Player entrances were on point. We're esports now, baby. We got player entrances onto stage. I loved it. Lesson, were you able to catch any of the event over this last weekend, or were you focused on other stuff this one?
I caught a fair amount of it after the fact. I didn't want to watch any of it live, just that time zone.
Yes, that is losing some sleep schedule for sure.
It was very interesting. I noticed there wasn't a lot of draft adaptation. Like, I think people just kind of went into it with their idea of what was the best thing, and then they just played that over and over again to like the best of their ability and just kind of didn't care about what was in front of them. It felt kind of weird. A lot of very interesting like invades and stuff. It's definitely like a really interesting watch, but I don't know. Felt the draft strategy felt lacking.
That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder what we could chop that up to, because I don't think that's always been the case, especially with SEA. I think SEA has been kind of the ones to maybe sometimes the critique would be over draft, like to over counter draft. You know, they just completely flip their strategy to try to face off what the opposing team has. But that definitely was a different side of the angle this time. Deuce-Nex, were you able to catch the event live? What were you thinking of this one?
Didn't catch it live, but I was watching the VODs today. I was actually messaging you while I was watching them, as I was having ideas spark in my mind as I was watching. Just some quick things I want to note. This is, I don't want to say a pet project at all, but something that's near and dear to my heart, kind of like iClan, is Revenant out of India. I think their story is awesome, a lot of fun, and Mr. Crowley is a great person to follow. They got completely rinsed out of this event. But something I want to highlight is the fact that they're playing these teams now versus last year when they had one event and then got thrown onto the world stage. I think actually gives Revenant a huge leg up in their region, because they're already experiencing higher level competitive play, and they're going to be able to step back and not only do better in their region, which they walked into their qualifier in fifth or whatever, they're going to be able to step back into the region and do better, but also think I believe it's going to allow them to put up a better result if they were to qualify for Worlds down the line. And that's just kind of something I'm keeping my pulse on, because I have a personal interest in that team. Second thing, watching the finals and watching Rebongs and Yang go to work was so much fun. They're a lot of fun to watch during Worlds, and getting to, just kind of feel back in the moment with those two players specifically, Zarina, Venusaur, like they're going in Worlds with that, and watching them again was just a highlight for sure. High Five seems to be just, I don't want to say on a different level, because MYS wasn't that far off, but their resiliency and how they're approaching certain things was very interesting. I think they're definitely the team to beat. I mean, they were undefeated through that whole event. That's kind of like low-hanging fruit. But to Lazadin's point of no counterpicking, I mean, they got Eldegoss, Slowbro every single game, and those were such huge comfort picks for them that it wouldn't have taken much in the first ban spot to throw a wrench in that plan, because every team, every second ban team in that event was forced to pick Zacian. Like, you cannot let that Pokemon slide. So
That was
something
part of
else,
the
yeah.
problem,
we'll which
have to
is
talk
amazing.
about that
Like,
too.
I love that it's banned for the Open and the Cup and the finals and everything, but the fact that no team took advantage of what was clearly something that they were overly reliant on, like banned them out of the gate. Like, I think just banning Slowbro out would have been kind of huge, in any opportunity you might have had it. So that's kind of just some feelings I have, but High Five certainly leading the pace car out there. A lot of teams to catch up on. I really enjoyed that best of five. Obviously, it went to the rails, so that makes it even more fun, despite kind of the lackluster excitement in the pick ban phase. But I mean, ACL was a great stage setter for what we've got going on in the West, so it made me even more excited for what we have in the AOS Cup weekends.
I completely agree. My sentiments around the event are largely agreeing on to both of you. I think the grand finals was really, really good. Ooh, tune in chats in the grands. The first ban was tree every single game. That is Ikaris tree is really good, so sometimes you need to ban that sucker out. I thought this matchup was really interesting, but mostly for me, it was kind of seeing High Five finally put on some kind of pressure. When we watched them in group stage when they were just playing within their East Asia, High Five just was rolling almost every single team. T2 put up a bit of a fight, but after that, it was sort of High Five show, and we were all just watching it. And when MYS was, you know, sort of finally making them sweat a little bit, I think that was really exciting. And yeah, Toon Sayan as well. They ACL 2024 was announced, so we are going to see a similar format roll out, which means UCS will be a little bit shorter for the Eastern regions probably again, which I'm not sure how those players are feeling about. But if you get to participate in something like ACL, event that's literally supported in the game of Unite, then yeah, I don't think you can be too upset. It's a pretty hype event across the board. I definitely, if you're going to go back and watch any of the matches, I do think the grand finals between High Five and Team YMIS really was the best one to watch. But T2 versus MYS was also a great game. We'll have 3-2s across the board in semifinals and grands. Really, really good tournament. Go watch that second day. It was a lot of fun.
Can I chime in real quick, Zoinks, with something that's important to mention about ACL? Toon obviously pointed out ACL 2024 announced, but something that's very, and those that aren't ingrained in the Pokemon community might not notice how relevant this is. The fact that there were outside sponsors to this event on the team's jerseys from Pokemon is huge. No other competitive game in Pokemon in history has allowed that type of stuff. And the fact that Unite is exclusively the only one that is means that they are dialed in across the planet from west to east, east to west, dialed in that this is the esport. VGC is for fun. TCG is for fun. Pogo's for fun. Unite is the esport that they want for Pokemon. Like, that is what that clearly signals to me. And even more so why people need to get gassed up and get in now, because the wave is about to crescendo and you want to be riding it, not in front of it or behind it.
Yeah.
My two cents.
I love that. I feel hyped up. I'm ready to go to war for juice snacks. That's epic. Lesidan, any thoughts around that? Outside sponsorships being allowed on official Pokemon Unite jerseys?
Can't comment.
Okay, well, cool. I mean, understandable.
Sorry.
You got contracts, that's totally fine. Well, then I'll throw in my two cents. I'm with you, Doofsnacks. I think it is so, so exciting. And like you said, you and I have been around this scene for a long time, you even a little bit longer than I. And this, outside sponsorships being allowed on broadcast on jerseys is honestly unbelievable. So I'm very excited, and we should all be buying Mako peanuts. Absolutely. I do think that is the case. All right, well, I think that brings us to the end of our discussion around the Asia Champions League, unless anybody has any last minute things to throw in. No,
good.
That's all right. Let's jump forward and talk a little bit about kind of the main body of our episode. The roster mania bug has hit North America yet again. The last chance to shore up your roster before it and you a little bit of you. The last chance to shore up your roster before heading into the AOS Cup is finally here. Some swaps need to be made by some teams' merits, and a lot of the teams, every single top 8 team in North America, has seen some change, which is wild. That every single team has seen some kind of change, and even below that, I think the changes get bigger and even more egregious. So we're going to talk about a few of those changes, but Lazadin, I just want to give you a second. So you are playing with a new member on your roster. I believe it's announced. Can we talk
yes,
about it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Fantastic. Well, then do you want to talk about the new player that's playing on your roster?
Yes, yes, indeed. Rin. Rin was one of the two players that were in contest for the best player in North America for all of last year. Mm-hmm. He was the dominant force on IX. Like, anybody you talk to would be like, who's the number one and two people you fear on IX Gaming? Rin and OG last year, right? He's absolutely insane. He's been fitting super, super well into the roster. Like, integrated perfectly into the culture. He's been grinding his butt off, trying to get back into the game. Mm-hmm. I cannot speak enough good things about Rin. He is amazing.
Awesome. Well, I think that your seal of approval is definitely enough, but I'm going to be more than enough. I think this player's crazy good at the game. Rin's unbelievably strong. We talked about it. I was on a cursed player rankings episode of a podcast, not mine. I met a lot of the top charts over there as well. Rin is crazy good. Do you want to talk role swap, though, quickly? Is Rin playing jungle for your team, and is Is Kyrgios back to attacker? Mm-hmm. Are you swapping a bunch? What's it looking like in the LG camp?
So yeah, Kyrgios is back to primarily playing attacker. Rin's playing jungle. That's for the most part how it goes. Obviously, like, you know, you have some, like, in the modern era of Unite, the roles are not that rigid. Like, and you can see that across teams where, like, sometimes you're like, okay, well, hey, like, I'm better on this specific pick. And in this draft, this pick is better played in jungle. But yeah, just as a default, Rin is playing jungle.
Okay, cool. Well, I think that versatility is sometimes a positive as well, which is really, really cool. Let's talk about Amaterasu next. So Amaterasu, the winners of the March finals, a very impressive performance. Unfortunately, due to some in real life circumstances, we're going to have that note on a couple of these teams. JL had to step away from the main roster. I believe they are still sticking with this squad as a substitute and not playing on a new roster. Last I heard, that is the situation. And Oblivion is going to be filling in on Amaterasu. Now, this means a lot of different things. I think Oblivion's flexibility and their hero pool is really exciting for this team. They can play some great attackers, but they also have a good amount of flexibility. They can play a few different roles, probably primarily playing top. Means Nudo will have to role swap yet again in their career. I really feel for that player, but they're going over to support, which definitely a role that I think they'll be totally fine in. Deucenex, any thoughts on this new Amaterasu roster, this new look with Oblivion in a Nudo role swapping over to support?
Well, obviously Oblivion's incredibly solid. My heart goes out to JL. I think they've been an amazing linchpin of that team, and I like watching JL play. They're one of the best Hoopas going. So, like, missing out on just that level of technical ability in the support role is important to me as somebody who, like, likes to get into the nitty-gritty of the supporters and defenders. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Nudo switching to supporter, they're going to be able to handle it. They're a phenomenal player. But that also means that now we're not going to have the 18 KO Nudo type situations that we were getting last year. So I'm excited that ASU has found themselves a strong player, but my heart breaks for some of the other movements selfishly on a caster level.
Sure. I think we can all feel for JL when IRL things come up. That is a huge bummer. I think credit to JL, maybe the most targeted bans against a support player in North America. Maybe, I don't know, the amount of times I've seen Sableye banned against them, or even Hoopa, which was a more blanket ban in their credit. But JL catches a lot of bans when they are playing on a team. So I think they are a player that we have not seen the last of in the slightest. I guarantee we'll see more gameplay from JL. Lazen, any thoughts on ASU?
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting to see how they adapt, because I think if you like look at the way they play, they often played around like the way JL wanted to play.
Okay.
So I think that they will look different going forward because of that. Like obviously, like, he's probably like still like gonna be helping them like out of the game, but like it's different when that person's not in the game, you know.
Sure.
So I don't know, it'll be interesting to watch for sure.
Yeah, it will be. Interesting enough to me, yeah, Nudo being like that supportive team, I think was more comfortable around a lot of the tank picks as well. Like, I think we'll see a lot of like Mamoswine out of them, a lot of double tank comps out of Amaterasu in the future, which I think benefits Trainer and Yeet fans play style incredibly so. I think the Hammer and Anvil that those two play as will love these double tank compositions. Might get them in some weird spots in drafts, but Amaterasu thrives in weird spots in drafts, so I think they'll be totally fine. I haven't seen nobody pick Decidueye that much. Let's jump down to TTV then. Now, TTV, obviously a fan favorite roster, sees another change, and this one is also going to be one of those thanks to in real life situations. Retsu, unfortunately, having to step away from the game, got to get some things sorted. But TTV is picking up the God Gamer Celestial. I had them on the pre-show for Mayhem last week. Celestial going to be joining the squad of TTV, playing central or top. I think in a similar situation to LG, is going to be swapping Lutano and Celestial back and forth depending on comfortability on the Pokemon. I'm going to miss Retsu, of course, but I think Celestial is actually going to fit very well into the squad. Lazen, let's start with you on your thoughts, and then I'll get Dupes next after.
I mean, yeah, like he's been on a team with Otter for when did they? Like, it's been a very, very long time. So, like, obviously he'll fit in right there culture-wise. They've been streaming with cons on, so you can, like, hear they're getting around pretty well.
Yeah.
They definitely are in an adjustment period, for sure, like based on the results for this weekend. But I have faith that they will definitely look bounce back and look better.
Yeah.
Possibly better with Celestial, possibly not. But I mean, like, you know, it's like it's hard to compare because those two players are so, so different.
Yeah. Yeah, unbelievably different.
For sure. Yeah.
I think that shutout, though, is awesome. I think the storyline revolving around TTV, caster in me is bringing up the word storyline. Ugh. But I think Celestial getting back on a team with Otter, just the full send TTV reunion team, is really exciting. I think those two will be fantastic. But Deuce Next, thoughts on TTV's new look?
Yeah, I love Retsu as the day is long, but this is a, in my opinion, on paper, a great personality shift. Okay. I think TTV has long been standing of being the calm, cool, collected, patient group, and I think Otter and Celestial buck that a little bit. And one thing, in my opinion, as a caster that I watch, you know, that doesn't have the technical minutiae down, but sees the bigger picture with the cheat codes of the map and everything, TTV wins games for 8 minutes, 8 minutes and 30 seconds. But holy smokes, how many times have we seen them on broadcast in the late event, in the late stages of an event, lose it in 90 seconds, right? When they were beating the brakes off the other team because they weren't able to just switch gears. In my mind, Celestial and Otter are now going to have the powerful voice to switch this gear and hopefully help the team readjust how they approach the game in the last couple minutes. So obviously I love Retsu to death. I think this is a very fun shakeup that I think personality wise will hopefully lead TTV to some newfound and then continued success. Because the reason everybody loves them is because their players are so much fun to watch and their players are so personable that, of course, you want to see them succeed. And a part of that is because of how cool, calm, and collected they are. Let's throw a couple cans of Monster Energy drink in there and Celestial and Otter and see how they can get some energy flowing. So yeah. I'm excited about it. I want to see how this shakes out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a really good point. Celestial will definitely bring some more energy towards that late game, maybe after the game too. But you hope it's really where it matters is in the in game. Next up, we have Team Unknown. Now, I'm getting some information in chat that Rex is playing with Team YouTube again. I don't know if they're just filling for scrims or if they are playing with that game. Last I heard, Unknown picked up Rex for their support player, which is insane for a lot of reasons. In fact, a clip of me was even posted on their roster announcement, Unknown. I think that Freak versus Rex has been a really fun, you know, ongoing argument back and forth. But okay, I am getting word that no longer does Unknown have Rex on their squad. Unknown actually picked up Bloodline. Okay. Interesting. Okay, so, all right, Bloodline's on the squad. See, told you, Freaks versus Rex, happening again. Unknown has now picked up Bloodline, another full send alumni. Incredible player. I really do think Bloodline is one of the best to ever do it in terms of tank and support in the North America scene. One of the best positive energies you can have in game. Really desires to learn and get better every single tournament. They seem like they've improved. I'm excited that they're playing on Unknown. I think it's a really cool squad that can change up a lot of stuff. And Rex is apparently trying out for YouTube. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Bloodline on Unknown. So Bloodline and Freak and Simp kind of stack working together here. Deucemax, any thoughts on this squad?
Yeah, I agree with you. Bloodline's awesome. My heart goes out to Dawn's Edge. I know these things happen at, you know, at this level of competitive play in esports, but it always just hurts just a little more to me personally when you see somebody that has helped a team reach some level of success and they get left to the side of the road for somebody that is either exponentially or marginally better than them in the effort that it'll like help the greater collective. But where does that leave them, right? Where, like, what did they bring to the table that may not be qualified or quantified in that equation? So, you know, we got to watch Dawn's Edge play a little bit in the February and March finals, and I thought they were playing very well. So, and we, you know, you and I got to watch them in March, or in, excuse me, in Mayhem as well. So, it's a bummer.
Yeah. Lazard, I think you were going to mention it too. I think Dons has sort of always been the manager for Unknown as well. And then we're like filling in a couple of spots. I'm not too sure, but yeah, either way, they really did help Unknown find a lot of success. I know they're still with the team in some regard, working as in that result. But
sort of. I think they might be playing out a different roster. I don't know. Oh. There's a bunch of weird stuff happening.
All right. Who knows? Anyway, Lazard, how do you feel about Bloodline joining the stack of Unknown?
Well, I figured this out 30 seconds ago, so I'm trying to figure out how to think about it.
Okay.
I definitely think that, like, he can be pretty good for that team. Mm-hmm. He's a more quiet support / tank player,
mm-hmm.
Like, as far as, like, in-game comms go. And they have a lot of pretty loud voices, so I think that's, like, on average, like, a big benefit for them.
Yeah, you want to balance really, that up for sure.
Mm-hmm. They performed really, really well last finals, so, like, I definitely think they could reach even greater heights for sure.
Okay, cool. Well, this is a really big one, a big roster shakeup. The next one we're going to talk about is GT. Now, GT decided to disband shortly, ended up just Kratos no longer on the squad, and Stockings from Radiance is now joining GT. Now, this is a pretty big swing for this squad, but they're finding a decent amount of success. Lesson, you already referenced this tournament, but this last weekend, the Community Gaming 1K in North America was an absolute barn burner of a finals between GT and your team. You ended up taking the win 3-2 in the end, but crazy.
Okay,
crazy.
Do you want a funny story about that? Because that was really funny.
I do, yes, please.
Okay, so we were, you know, like, obviously, like, we're really friendly with GT, and, like, we were just chatting, like, after, like we were just trying to, like, before after the match, right? And we played the first two games out, and, like, everybody got off. And then literally, like, 2 minutes later, we get a message, actually, grand finals was best of five. Neither of us realized.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Come on. So come on, folks. Come on now. Jeez. So, well, hey, you ran it back.
So we load back in. They win the next two. And then it comes out to a really close game five. That was a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, well, hey, it was a close game. It's hilarious. I'm here for it, though. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They performed really, really well. Stocking seems to be fitting in amazingly. Yeah. There is, like, there's obviously the benefit of, I don't think they have to switch as much with Stocking, since she plays almost entirely bottom line characters. There was, like, you know, sometimes, like, Kratos and regret switching back and forth. It's like, yeah, it's good to switch back and forth occasionally, like, for comfort reasons, but also for as far as, like, you know, like, you want to have some synergy built up in lanes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a million and a half reasons to do it one way or the other. Okay. So it's a potential benefit for them. Obviously, like, I love everybody on that team, and I hope they do really, really well. And I think they definitely can.
Yeah. Yeah, I think GT's it's an interesting swap up, but I think Stockings is a very incredible player. I think their ceiling is extremely, extremely high. Deuce next, thoughts on GT?
Yeah, I mean, an insane pickup for a team that was literally undertakered out of the coffin like 11 minutes after they said their team was done. So, you know, just pulled on the heartstrings of everybody, and then just like, just kidding, we back, baby. So, you know, I'm just
but within 10 minutes, it was
wild. It was crazy. Stocking's going to be a ton of fun to watch. GT has a heck of an event in front of them after their great performance in the last one, the March finals. You know, obviously going to look to improve on that by at least one spot. But they've got a lot going against them, and I think Stockings can really help them elevate their game. They, like, Stockings is insane. So any time I get to watch them play is a benefit to me. So selfishly, I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. Well, the next roster I wanted to talk about, Red Cats in chat, so they can confirm any any rosters that I maybe get wrong here. But I believe that they are now playing with Pikadiff and Vin Diesel on their squad. I believe that makes Barnwell and Yard free agents at the time. I'm sure they've found rosters by now. Chaos Cup's coming up pretty quickly. Both of those players are crazy good. Pikadiff and Vin onto this squad. Another good signing. Spinal having better and better performances as the season goes on. Community Gaming 1K that happened this last weekend, they ended up in third place. A really, really good performance out of them. Spinal doing really, really exciting things out there. Great, great Twitter announcement too. So thoughts on Spinal and where their roster stands now?
Yeah, I mean, Pika Diff is nuts. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Pika Diff. Know them on a personal level. They're a great, great human being. It's got to be a little sour grapes if you're Barnwell or Yard, who were really kind of on one in the March finals to help the team find success. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in their position, I certainly can't think that that's a very comfortable pill to swallow. But in terms of Pika Diff and Vin, obviously they got some insane players. I'm a huge, huge fan of Pika Diff. No question about that. And I really hope that Barnwell and Yard find themselves on their feet because
it was Aimbot.
Aimbot was on there. Okay, that's my bad information. I'm sorry. I was feeding incorrect. So Barnwell was on Unknown.
My fault.
No, that's me. So Aimbot. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Well, the sentiment certainly still stands with Yard, who is kind of playing off the charts. And Barnwell, you're right, for Uno was doing very well. Red Cat, thanks for clearing that up. You'd think watching all the games, I would have known this when I was
so
just running my mouth.
Information running past you, like it's unbelievable.
But yeah, I mean, Pika Diff is correct. I know them on a personal level, like I said, and I'm a huge, huge fan of theirs. So I very much so want them to find success. And you know what? Goes for Barnwell and Yard too. And Vin, have fun out there with Spinal.
I think they'll be sick. Apparently, Yard got picked up by the Ben Squad, the ever-changing Ben Phone. Who knows? Man, I was so bummed they didn't make top four. I really, really was. I hope they get on broadcast for this for AOS in some way. They're so exciting. Yeah, we do need Index.
Okay. So that I know three of Ben's, but I'm still not sure in the last two.
Who knows? Let's move on to the last roster change because this segment is going quite a long time here. Let's jump over across the pond to EU. The big roster change that I think a lot of people did not see coming, me included. Big, big shock. But Nouns has dropped Red Maw from the roster, and they have picked up Sixies from Dogwater, or Woof Woof, whatever their roster got changed to. Yeah, this is a wild one. Deucenax, I know this was one you were feeling very strongly about, so why don't you start off the discussion? Red Maw gone, 60s in, thoughts here on Nouns?
I've said it on this podcast, said it on broadcast before. Red Maw and what they brought to that Nouns team is not measured on any metric that shows up at the end of the game. It was very noticeable at Worlds specifically. It was incredibly noticeable talking to them in between matchups at Worlds specifically, where the team finished second on the planet. Mm-hmm. What Red Maw brings to the table is not just, again, the metrics that you see at the end of a game. I don't know Sixies as well as I know Red Maw. I think Sixies is an amazing player. They're incredibly fun to watch. They have great pop-off potential, but that's not what Red Maw necessarily was, but that's not what Red Maw was necessarily responsible for bringing to the team. Hmm. I hope it works out because I really enjoy the Nouns players. I like Sixies. I don't know where this leaves Red Maw. If this was a, you know, IRL type situation, they had to step away, or this was kind of like your shoot out the door because we don't think you fit in the puzzle. You're not the puzzle piece to fit in our grand plan anymore. But holy smokes, I'm going to miss them as a player. And I think regardless of how well Sixies plays, their personalities between the two are not one for one. So there's going to be a vacuum left from where Red Maw steps away. And I hope it's filled, and I hope Nouns find success. But I was gutted to see Red Maw not be on this team anymore. For whatever reason, doesn't matter. As a caster, they were one of my favorite players to watch. And you know, hard on the floor with that one. Yeah.
I completely agree. It was a player that I think I was really critical of when I first started watching their play, and then they impressed me tournament after tournament every single time, and it really had to reshape what I thought of this player. And I thought they're heading out as, in my opinion, the one of the best, if not the best, top laner in the region, and they're exiting the game. I mean, Klaus might have something to say with it. Sarah, you might have something to say with it. But I seriously think Red Maw, just performance and the percentage of placements is so ridiculously good. It's pretty wild to see at this time. We don't know the reason for the change. Of course, we don't get that kind of information, but I'm interested to see what 60s does bring. Now, 60s, of course, is well known for a lot of different things. They've played a few different roles on teams. Filling in as a Lucario player, I don't think will be too much of a challenge for them, but they definitely have an interesting hero pool. This player loves to play Lane Talon and various things like that, too, which seems to me like you're adding another wild card to an already handful of them. So we'll have to see how 60s fits into the roster, but it just seems like more nouns shenanigans are on the horizon for sure, with an addition of someone like 60s. But Lassiden, thoughts on nouns esports after having a roster swap up of Red Maw off and 60s in?
Yeah, I don't know anything about like the behind the scenes there, obviously. It feels something similar to what I said about the TTV role swap earlier, right? Where it's like, yeah, this player is like really, really mechanically gifted and like obviously like a really just great player, mm-hmm. but also it's such a different personality, right? It's such a different style that I don't know like if they'll be better off for it, you know?
Right.
It's really hard to predict. It could be very, very volatile or could just go absolutely smooth. Either way, like, you know, shout out to Red Maw. I hope he finds a great team or mm-hmm. he goes and touches the best grass there is, you know?
Could happen.
Whichever is his heart's desire.
I saw the vacation photos from Gatlu and Red Maw. Those looked amazing. That guy knows how to vacation. They're going to have fun.
Can I slide in a quick piece of information? Conversation I had with Red Maw. After the event finished, they were in second places, him and I chatting one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
And he mentioned that His ability and understanding of their capacity to win never wavered, even when they were down games against, you know, LG or Ascended at the time, or Blackhand at the time. Holy shit, how many names have you all had?
Sorry.
But the fact that he was like, I knew I was there. I know there were some players in nouns that I was able to keep their heads there, but there are some folks that didn't think the bounce back was real. So in my mind, I kind of have to question, was Red Maw the linchpin of all those losers bracket pushes that they've had?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't obviously come to fruition at Worlds, but they've certainly done it other times. They've done it this year with Red Maw. And you know, that's a little insider look of their mental, and I think exactly the type of vacuum that I'm saying might be left with them leaving this team for whatever reason. You know, I hope it's in good spirits and everybody is fine with the situation, of course. But I just think Red Maw's a one of a kind player that is not easily replaced.
True.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I think we're all completely agreed on that. But moving forward for nouns, I think we can all agree talent is not even close to the problem for this roster moving forward, right? We have Gatlu, Geese, Bruv, Adesu. Like, this roster is, even if 60s ends up not performing very well, which I do not think will be the case. I think 60s is a very good player. I think they'll fit in well, but like, this roster is oozing with talent. 60s is going to bring a new element to that as well. The only things that the Overdunk podcast as a whole is questioning is personality. If Nouns can get that sorted, if Coach Towel Boy Blaine can get them in line, then hey, maybe there's good things in the future for Nouns Esports. Well, before we get to the end of the show, I did want to have just sort of a blanket discussion around the current state of the metagame, specifically with an angle around the competitive game of Unite. We are looking at a very interesting world. I mean, ACL was played, Emblems allowed, Zacian allowed. Zacian got banned pretty much every single game. However, we also got the announcement that their Unite Championship Series will mirror ours. So there will be no emblems available for UCS for the Eastern regions as well. makes sense. That just means that Worlds, we now have in basically as much confirmation as we can have. No emblems, that kind of thing for Worlds. But let's talk about the metagame. Deuce, thanks. Any overall thoughts on what the meta is looking like right now?
Yeah, I'm gonna let Laz get in the weeds on that a little bit as they're scrimming up. But it's very, it gives me the warm and fuzzies how strong and how highly Slowbro gets picked.
Yes.
I love that Pokemon. I think it's a lot of fun to watch. But also speaks to its versatility, where it's such a strong blanket pick because of its Unite move and its different kit between Scald and Surf, that it's so powerful. I think that's very unique, right? It won't take over the game, but it's always good. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of Pokemon I like to see kind of get in the mix. Last thing I'll say, not necessarily metagame, but where the game should go. I don't know who I need to get in front of, and I don't know anybody out there that organized the events is listening, but after AOS Cup, 2 bans per side moving forward for the rest of UCS.
That'd be pretty hype. I am fully on board with 2 bans. And then if they were 2 bans, though, would you do like 2 waves of blind bans? Like vote, bans, you see those bans, and then you vote again and do a ban? Or would you like prefer traditional MOBA, 1 ban, 2 bans, 1 ban?
I would, you know, just for the sake of simplicity, which kind of seems to be the lane that they're trying to hit with this, even working the Pikmin, I'm just too blind works. Like, I'm totally fine with that. Anything that gives the opportunity for more Pokemon to be taken off the table before the draft actually starts, I think is a benefit.
Cool, cool. Well, Lazanin, thoughts on the overall meta before you get into it, and then please chip in on this draft discussion as well. Would you like to see 2 bans added to the game after AOS Cup?
I definitely think the meta is in a very interesting spot right now. This is the longest time we've had a patch for a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute, like, for sure.
To the point where I am, like, I and the rest of MathCord have been, like, super paranoid for the last 48 hours because we're like, is it going to be tonight? When's the patch? When is it?
it's supposed to be tonight, right? Like, it's rumored to be tonight?
Allegedly, the rumor is tonight or maybe in a week. It probably, like, the latest it could be is, like, April 3rd, but then that's really weird for EU. Like, okay. There's so much. Like, basically, no matter what it is, it screws someone over, which is all another thing, but whatever.
Yeah, that's that's a globe. Like, what are we gonna, you know?
Yeah. So, basically, it's definitely, like, it's evolved in a lot of very interesting ways. Bot lane meta seems pretty solved. All things considered, it's like, oh, look, there's a battle pass for Espeon and they hyper buffed it. Oh, it's overpowered. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then, like, jungle meta has been like jungle meta bear is still super strong, but there's a lot of really viable picks there. Top lane meta's got a lot of things going.
Yep.
You got the 2 kings of the tank roll, and then everything else is like, all right, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Being Slowbro and tree.
Right.
Decent amount of viable supporters. Like, I don't know. I'm a big fan of this meta. I think it lets teams play the way they want without too heavily favoring one specific playstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Asterisk, this is only true if Zacian is not allowed. If Zacian is allowed, then it...
a little dupe. Yeah. Yeah. That is so interesting that you mentioned that, because I think I agree with you. I think from the competitive game aspect, aka draft, I think this metagame is really interesting. You mentioned it. We have 2 dominant tanks right now. Great. There's 2 teams in the Gamma Unite. We have a lot of interesting picks in both top and jungle. Support tends to actually get a chance to play second tank or just a super focused individual healer. I think the variety competitive play is really interesting. If you have watched any solo queue player on Twitter recently, it's a meltdown out there. They're dying. Zacian Comfy is dooming everything. You may as well FF at 5. And then there's people upset that the queue times are short, but that's because their duo's getting into 5 stacks. It is, like, so wild. There's always been a separation amidst competitive play and the average players' experience of Unite, right? But it feels like, to me, this may be our biggest gulf that we have had in a long time of a very huge difference between the competitive aspect of Unite and the solo, more casual style of Unite. It is interesting. I'm not coming here with fixes or remedies. That's what this podcast is about. But it is an interesting world that we are living in. It's just something I wanted to mention. But
start by adjusting hidden MMR properly. That way that people that have over 4,000 master points are not gaining plus 12. And if you get beat, then you get plus zero.
Yeah, I forgot that also existed. Yes. Okay. Also, 4K master points is another problem. Really got a big banner of a list. Well, anyways, Lacedon, in draft mode and competitive play, how would you approach bans going forward? Do you like this one ban? Are you interested in Dupesnek's idea of two bans? And how would you implement them, if so?
I would love two bans. I think that from a tournament mode perspective, if you're going to have a draft format that is explicitly in this one mode, right?
Yeah.
And I understand why, like, we're doing blind bans. It's about, like, keeping it short and simple and all that. Hopefully one day it makes it to ranked mode. That's what the indicator was to me. It hasn't yet. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. They're really taking their time on that aspect of it. But yes.
I think it'd be really good to have just standard two ban with, like, sequential bans. I think that it would prevent a lot of issues.
Okay.
And I think that, like, it would definitely make drafting a lot more interesting. It would force teams to be more creative with the way they think about their drafts. And
I'm so sorry to cut you off. I'm just sequential bans. You're saying team A, one ban, team B, two bans, team A, one ban?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, cool.
That would be my preferred way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Or 1-2-1-2. I actually don't care all that much.
Sure.
Either way, though, I think it's... it'd be better to do it that way, but I understand why they're doing it the way they are. But two bans would definitely, I think, lead to a healthier meta overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would lead to a healthier meta overall. I think it would... It might take... There's always the danger with adding more bans that you lose a little bit of that flavor pick, you know? If you're giving the teams more options to ban away, you can waste one of your bans, taking away the token Pokemon of the other team that not any other team plays for and stuff like that. You run that risk, but I think two bans, you're definitely not going to be hitting that problem too often. So I agree. I think two bans would be great. You can make them blind, or you could do... I think ideal world, it's sequential bans like you mentioned. I don't think that world exists. I think blind bans is much more likely of what we would be hitting. I think I would also appreciate those quite a bit. Well, I think that kind of draws us to our end discussion of metagame. I know we didn't get too nitty-gritty on the Pokemon being selected or what we're looking at, but I think it's... I think it's an interesting one, and if you want to watch it, check out AOS Cup qualifiers this upcoming weekend. I guarantee people will be streaming it. People will be streaming their gameplay. It'll be a lot of fun to watch. But if you want to look at more competitive Pokemon Unite, then look no further than this channel. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Unite Mike's Mayhem Season 3. We are raging on week number 3, our last week of just brand new teams that are competing every single week. And we have a banger lineup for you, by the way. Participating first up is going to be Luminosity Gaming. What's up, Lasman? Luminosity Gaming will be going up against Kakuna Matata in round number 1. And round number 2, we will be having Ignorance versus Team God Squad. And then the winners of those two matches will be playing for their chance to play in the finals week, the following one, playing, of course, against Champions Amaterasu, Team YouTube, and Team TTV from past season. It's going to be sick. I cannot wait. And of course, we got cool sponsorships, a ton of code giveaways. If you want to show up and be in chat, we'll be giving away a lot of stuff. It's going to be a ton of fun. But that's my plugs for tonight. Dupesnek, is there anything that you would like to plug before we end the show?
Yeah, kindoffit.com, our sponsor for Unite Mike's Mayhem and our kind of biggest thing we're touting right now. They have awesome, awesome merch, body positivity image here for gym rats and not. Doesn't matter. Their clothes is incredibly comfortable. So go to kindoffit.com. Do us a favor. If you find something that you see there that you like, use Unite Mike's on checkout, get 10% off. And, you know, and that's part of the grass. I keep harping it, but that's part of the grassroots streams thing. You can't get companies to invest into your scene if you aren't investing yourself. And I'm not saying go arbitrarily spend money, but if you do see something on that site that you do like, using that promo code shows kind of that, hey, this has been a worthy venture for them. They can keep sponsoring these things, and we can keep bringing Unite Mike's Mayhem to you in a cost-efficient manner, because Zoinks and I were hemorrhaging money on the first couple. So they're definitely helping us keep this thing going. So shout out to Kind of Fit, Kind of Fat. Go check them out. Unite Mike's on checkout for 10% off. At Dubesnacks on Twitter, at Unite Mike's is what's important, though. Follow that.
That's true. I'm wearing their shorts right now. They're great. Lazadin, anything you want to plug before we wrap up the show?
No, not particularly. I'm good. Shout out to, of course, Kind of Fit, Kind of Fat for sponsoring, you know, what has been one of the most, like, amazing tournament series we've ever had. And shout out to literally all five of my players who all stream. Go watch all of them. They're all great.
Yeah. Yeah, they all stream very, very good for sponsors. Hey, if you want to get sponsored, maybe start up some streams, teams. But all right, that is going to bring us to the end of our show. This has been Overdunk episode 59, AOS Cup qualifiers are this upcoming week. So good luck if your team is participating. Next week's episode is going to be all things AOS Cup predictions, bracket fillouts, bold takes, all of it and more. I cannot wait. We are truly in the hyperspeed of this season. Unite has never been more exciting when it comes to championship series, and same here with the Overdunk podcast. We will see you all next time. Goodbye.